Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening and welcome to the Star Chamber Show, episode number 146. And this is your host tonight, Stephen Zimmer. And yes, I mean host, because normally we, of course, have a rotating group of co-hosts, but life happens. And unfortunately, both Daniel Dark and Holly Phillippe are under the weather. Holly said she will attempt to call in tonight, but just couldn't guarantee hosting a full show. So I'm it. I'm, as they say, in reference to the British Army, I'm holding the thin red line tonight for the Star Chamber Show, and we're going to do an open lines night. So I'm going to open up the lines for calls early and also be looking in the chat room. So if you are out there, feel free to log in the chat room. I'll take questions and comments from there. And then also, of course, we have our phone line, which is a good place to go as well. And I will get that number to you in just a second. That number is 619-639-4616, 619-639-4616. And if you're on the show page, that number is also available on the show page. It's right around the graphic on the show page. So, so this is going to be interesting. Solo hosting tonight. So who knows where we'll go with topics, because I'm game for anything. I love all aspects of the creative world, filmmaking, movies, game design, comics, publishing. We could take it anywhere we want to go. I've been definitely in a creative zone kicking off 2019. I think I counted up today. I've done like 8 or 9 writing sessions so far, and about 30,000 words into the fourth book of my Fires in Eden series. So going back to my early roots, as they say, because this is a pure epic fantasy series, which is my foundation. And so it's been a lot of fun to immerse into my world of Ave and get into that. So a lot of fun. Ensemble cast story. I had written it. I've been working on this and writing this since the early 90s, so it's been a series built for quite a while. But it does have a similar structure to the Game of Thrones world in terms of you have multiple character threads that you follow through the book. So it's definitely got that complexity, following a lot of plot lines, a lot of characters, and so it's gonna be fun because I've been doing a lot of novella work in the last year, and then a YA book last year. So yeah, this is a whole different beast, of course. And I will be 2019, got a lot of stuff that I'm looking forward to doing. I'm gonna try to get another Rising Dawn Saga book out, follow up to the YA book, Dream of the Navigator, and I will the third book on the Dark Sun Dawn Saga. I'm gonna try to get that on the map, and then definitely a few more of the novellas, because I got a really good response from those, and people are enjoying those. They're fast reads, they're standalones, they're very very tight, action packed kind of narratives, and so they are a lot of fun to write, and I got in a real good rhythm on those. I ended up having 8 over the course of last year up to January 1st. So that gives you a little idea what I'm doing creatively. We're still advancing on working to get a home for the TV pilot, and that's front and center right now. Actually going to be sending out some more stuff on that this week, and looking to get that on the map as a series. They're developing a series this year. So we just have to keep our fingers crossed and hope that somebody sees the potential in that. So yes, creatively, I'm definitely excited about 2019. It's going to be a very interesting year. We'll have another Imaginarium. Of course, get a lot of activity with the press, Seven Star Press. Then it's imprint Seventh Star Shadow with the new kickoff that we just had with Dan Jolly and his awesome book, The Storm. So Yeah, definitely check that out if you get a chance, because it's a really intense story set in rural Georgia. And yeah, definitely a thought-provoking book, as well as one hell of a intense, really, really intense book. Yeah, that you like stuff like Silence of the Lambs, you know, really, really dark-edged, gritty kind of suspense thrillers. Yeah, you'll definitely like this one. And yeah, so it's lining up to be a pretty crazy year. And looking in the chat room, we have Kenzie Michaels has joined us for the evening. Yay! I'm not alone so far. And we actually have a caller in the queue already. So I will definitely do recognize the number. So we'll be able to give you all an exciting intro to our caller. That'll be here in just a second. So again, tonight is an open lines night. So you can call in. You can comment from the chat room. We can take the conversation anywhere. Well, Kenzie said she's here, but only for 2 more minutes. Her dinner's heating up. Oh, no. It's going to be here for 2 minutes. Well, maybe she'll return after eating dinner. I scarfed down mine just right before the show, just so I'd, you know, at least have the energy to hold up here as your solo host tonight. And you know, of course, I've got the whole arsenal of sound effects to use here anytime I want. Yeah, look at that. There we go. Fun with sound effects. I got the soundboard working, so yeah, we can even play with that a little bit. No, just kidding. But I will go to our first caller just so we get some action going tonight. And this is the man that lit the creative flame. He's doing some great stuff out there. Had the honor of being a location for one of his recent book trailer projects, which I'm sure he's going to talk about. He's just created an amazing calendar project, which is going to definitely be a topic I'm sure he'll want to converse about too. But this is a regular on the show. And, of course, speaking of the man that we call Lord Irish, the awesome David Sheridan. David, you are on the
hey,
show
hey, hey.
With just me. Thank you for calling in. It's just
not
me tonight.
I know.
Yeah,
that's why
I thought I had,
so I made an effort to be here.
I mean, I wish I had prizes to give out tonight, but unfortunately, Star Chamber Show budget, the best
year.
I can do is give out some newspaper, you know, coupons or something like that. But there are no prizes, but we sure can talk about some cool stuff. I mean, that'll... of course, are you currently in Indiana right now?
Oh yeah, I'm working here in Indy. I've been working on the book promo, working on a lot of different projects. So you know, it's been a good start to the year. So I'm excited.
Well, I definitely know that you were doing the book project because we had. Our house used as one of your locations, and so we got a little bit of behind the scenes peek, which was quite a lot of fun to be honest. That was really cool.
It was awesome being there. You guys are awesome hosts, and you know, I always love just coming. I'll come down for any reason I can.
Yeah. Well, there's always good meals, and there's a working Retron in the house now, so you can even play old school video games. So there's many reasons to come to here.
and Burger King's close to your house in the morning.
That's right, and it gets better. Holly just recently found an original, let me get this straight. She found a documentary that focuses on the Atari 2600 ET game, the one that many people say is the worst video game ever made. So we found an entire documentary on this, and I'm going to be checking this out soon because I actually have a copy of that game, which I actually bought for Holly before I knew about the reputation it had. And so I have a mint condition copy of that. So yeah, you'll have to take a whirl on that the next time. The it's the Atari 2600 version of the ET.
I've known about that one for years. It is the worst.
Yeah, it's a gem. But she found an entire documentary. I don't know if it was on like Amazon Prime or whatever, Hulu or something like that. But she found an entire documentary that's about that game. Evidently, there is an urban legend about Atari dumping over, like, a million of unsold cartridges of this into some landfill. And so these documentary filmmakers set out to see if the legend was true. And from what Holly told me, it's a great documentary. And the guy behind the game is evidently a really powerful story behind him, and he was definitely put under, like, unbelievable pressure to get this game done in, like, no time. And he's, like, actually is heroic and didn't deserve all the flack he got later for it. She said it has a real – it's really a well-done documentary, and it gets into the whole 80s game culture, which is quite a lot of fun for me. And so I'm dying to see this documentary. I definitely got to check it out. And she said they did find. She didn't give me all the spoilers, but she said it's not one of those things where they go to find whatever they're looking for and find nothing. She said yes, there was something exciting they found in the landfill. So
I won't spoil it for you, but yeah, it's definitely they do find something. So
yeah, so it's not one of those disappointing things like back when they opened Al Capone's vault and found absolutely, I think it's Geraldo Rivera did, and they found absolutely nothing back in the day.
Yeah.
Or they go, on those monster shows, oh, we're going to go after Bigfoot, and they find absolutely nothing. Or they, we're going after the legendary river monster. They find a flock, a swarm of newts or minnows or something, and that's about it. I hate those. It's like great setup and lousy conclusion.
You won't get a good finish.
Yes, I'm looking forward to that. But I do actually own a very near mint condition copy of that cartridge. So I've got one.
That's awesome.
Which I know that's the real reason you like to come down. For sure, because you love to.
So I can beat you at games.
But
that's not true. You beat me at a lot of them. So,
Kenzie's still listening to the show while she eats. So we'll just have to make sure we we don't say anything gross on the air. It disturbs her dinner too much.
While I was down, it was exciting because, while I was down shooting for the book promo, which, we had some very talented actors. I'm so terrible at names. What was the lady's name?
Am I allowed to say their names? Okay. Yeah, because, yes, Nikki Marie is phenomenal. I mean, she's absolutely great. And, of course, the wonderful Matthew McLeod.
Yeah. So they,
those
they
are the
were,
two you, that I'm aware of, because they were the two that were at the house shooting with you. So,
yeah,
which I thought were excellent calls on the casting, because Matthews, he based on the book trailer you were shooting. I mean, they had the perfect looks. So both of them.
Yeah.
So I mean, it was very cool to see that, and of course you had your whole green screen set up too, which is awesome, man.
Yeah, well, while we had the green screen up, we also shot the Holly Bonnet calendar.
Yes, and I've got a sneak preview of some of the images, and they look fantastic. And, I guess now it's just we'll be posting links this week. It's on sale on your site?
Yeah, I posted it on Facebook, and I sent Holly the link, so she'll be able to post it too.
And that is... what's the price on that? Do you remember which
the
price
for
the shipping
wall calendar, for the wall calendar, regular calendar is $20.
Nice. Yeah, so it's cut. Yeah, it definitely would be a collector's item, folks, because we had talked about how much we liked playing the Oregon Trail card game a little ways back, and that led to Holly one night putting on a bonnet she used to wear in VV, Indiana, when she did yard work, and she sent the picture to Daniel Dark, and whether that was a mistake or not, I don't know, but Daniel, it was intended not to be shared online, but Daniel put the picture of Holly in the bonnet online, and people just went crazy, so that became the legend of the Holly bonnet. And since then, we've built the whole Oregon Trail theme around it. And David, with his production wizardry has created a whole calendar that features holly in all kinds of Oregon Trail themed settings.
Yeah, you're
some
even
of them even modernized. Yeah. So, like the one that has the sort of modern wagon in it.
So, yeah. But
it's
yeah,
a
you're
even wagon technically, but it's modernized. It has seats that
well,
the original Oregon Trail folks probably would have killed for.
Yeah. But you're in Martin's in it, Martin's wife's in it, and then so there's a lot of fun shooting that. And it's got the most important dates in that calendar. The Imagineering.
My birthday. Oh, Imaginarium. Oh, Lord. That's awesome, man. That is so cool. Yeah, I saw something about I was a wanted man. I was on some kind of poster. That was cool.
Yep. Zim the Invader.
Yeah, you even got Holly wielding a rifle and all kinds of stuff in that. That's pretty awesome.
Well, next year we gotta get it out before the end of the year, but
yeah.
We'll have to do an Imaginarium calendar or something next year.
Yeah. Imaginarium, who knows, this will probably this year's edition, even though Matt, by that time it'll be almost like toward the end of the year, it'll probably still sell like hotcakes. And Holly will still be there to sign it. So that'll
yep,
be
yep,
awesome.
Yep. Bring the calendar so Holly can sign them.
Yeah. All right. We've got Robert Osborne and Amy Unplugged in the chat room. I'm going by the screen names here. So we get the numbers are building in the chat room as we speak here. They're probably getting a frenzy is building up over the Holly Bonnet calendar. That's what's happening.
Well,
it is funny,
not.
I have seen the images. It is definitely worth buying if you are someone that knows Holly and definitely know what Holly's like personality wise and all. It's a classic. It really is. I know I'm gonna buy one. So you got a little sale coming your way, David.
Yeah, well, I'm gonna buy one too.
Because I want that thing up in my office. That'd be too much. And especially, I got a spot for it. Yeah. So it's definitely gonna have a home. That's gonna
and
be
this
fun.
Is all
that's nice gonna be
Daniel
fun.
Dark.
Yeah, Dan. Oh, I know Daniel will get one. Michael needs one for his, his awesome subterranean author's paradise that he has developed. You know, that's almost like a museum.
I saw the picture with his new werewolf. That was awesome.
Yeah, no, he's got that. There's the Howling statue. I think his Sideshow Collectibles made it. And, oh, wow. I mean, that thing's incredible. Yeah, speaking of Michael, he actually worked with Ingar Adarasa, the artist that works with us so much, and they actually ended up doing a second illustration for the limited edition hardcover that's being offered right now. So Michael's in a real good mood about that, because instead of one exclusive illustration, new exclusive illustration for that book, he actually ended up working out a second one. So we actually made the announcement on that today. So Michael, wherever he is tonight, yeah, he's definitely in a good mood about that development, because that was just last week that became possible. And so that's a cool thing. And as far as Daniel goes, yeah, Daniel's been a writing machine lately. He's just, like I said, he's just under the weather tonight. And, he's got a new blog tour coming up in February that combines his Knife's Tell book, which is a neat blend of mystery, thriller, horror, and erotica. And I know that sounds wild, but it's Victorian.
It's a good blend.
It's a take on Jack the Ripper. And so if you know Jack the Ripper, you can. It makes sense. It all blends. And so it's a really good take on that. And then he's got his Victor. We also included his Victorian Catchett book along with it, because I don't know if a lot of people know this, but Daniel, on the back of Knife's Tale, includes the full authentic Victorian recipes for every dish that's in the novel. And he knows this stuff well because he was a Victorian chef. And so that was a really cool element to that book. And so, yeah, he actually had a whole book on Victorian era ketchup recipes. And so, yeah, that book also came out in 2018. And so that would be fun to combine those since they're all Victorian, you know, and he's got a segue with his novel with the recipes, and he's a Victorian chef. And then the fact that the Victorian ketchup book actually helped him make a comeback from a stroke and get back into writing. And it also, the proceeds from that go to a blood bank down there in Tennessee. So it's a really cool all around thing. And that's that blog tour. I'm sure he's going to be doing a lot of expounding on the stuff that I just talked about in all of his posts and activities. So that's coming up in February. And yeah, I always say blog tours. A lot of people don't really bring it up to a lot of people mainstream. They don't know exactly what they are. But if you really want to find out about an author and their work and the books that they do, blog tours are a great way to really get in deep as far as, you know, the kind of the way the authors think and where they're coming from, their, you know, their influences, backgrounds, because the guest posts they do, the interviews, all that stuff. I mean, it really gets into the depth behind the books that they do. And so I always say, if you're a fan of an author and they are doing a blog tour, great way to get to know them. And that, so if you want to know Daniel, yeah, that's coming up in February. And that's
awesome.
An Amy Unplugged. That's Amy McCorkle. Yes. Okay. I've just figured out who the Amy Unplugged is. So she is, getting back to, I'm just looking through here. She's getting back to writing and getting signed some letters to Daniel auditions coming up this Sunday. Congratulations, Amy. That's awesome. So letters to Daniel film project auditions taking place, I guess, this Sunday. So that's awesome. And Robert's made another cup of hot chocolate. Now that sounds really, really good. And he's got new wireless headphones. Courtesy a gift from his wife. So he's listening to me and you, David, in perfect clarity tonight. So I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing. He'll be able to hear it so clearly. He'll catch me when I take my sips of bourbon. So, because I don't have my co-host to
mask
too much
tonight.
Well, you
know, there's nothing better than high definition in bourbon. Yes.
And Kenzie's finishing her pasta. So I'm giving you all the full updates of what's happening in the chat room. You are up to date now. So, and well, almost. Yeah. Amy said her sound equipment arrived today. So, yeah, they're bantering away in the chat room, which is always good to see.
Yeah.
Robert says, I don't take sips. And actually, I do. I'm a sipper. I am not a shooter when it comes to my bourbon. It's definitely a sip. I can make a glass last an entire show. That is a fact. I have Doobie and Holly both can vouch for me on that. Yeah, Doobie just started meowing in the background, so he's seconding me right now.
And
Holly just walked through. Holly just walked through, so she may be calling in. I don't know. She's wanted to be on the show really bad tonight. But maybe the rumors about Lord Irish being on are kind of acting as a tractor beam.
Yeah.
It's always, you never know. We'll just have to wait. It'll be a surprise if she does. I'll keep an eye on the things. We do have another caller, though, David.
All right.
Uh-oh. We're going to have to bring another caller on. See, I don't have the ability to screen tonight, so this is going to be like the Wild Wild West. So. This is a 502 area code, and you are on the air from 502 area code.
It's Amy.
Ha, it's Amy. Hello, Amy.
Yay.
Amy Unplugged. Yeah, I saw your screen name, and I was thinking it that might be her. But then when you said letters to Daniel, I was like, oh, yes, that's Amy McCorkle.
Yeah,
writer, filmmaker, producer.
Yeah,
well, welcome to the show.
Yeah, we're looking at having a finished film about the middle of September. And since we're going to submit to Sundance and South by Southwest, I had to keep its premiere free. But we talked about screening, like a test screening or a sneak preview out of competition at Imaginarium for the film.
Very cool. Well, yeah, because we'll show something, maybe, you know, a teaser or a scene or something at least. Yeah, that would be awesome.
Yeah, we're sponsoring again, but it's going to take a while before I can actually pay for it because all my money's into the film right now.
Oh, I know that. Mine broke me.
You know, understand?
Yeah, that makes me have to, just thinking about that makes me take a sip of bourbon. But how is Sunday looking? You said you got auditions going on Sunday. What's where are those taking place, and what's coming up?
The auditions take place at the Ridgeway Memorial Public Library in Bullitt County, Kentucky, in Shepherdsville. The address is 127 North Walnut. 40165, and if anyone's interested in auditioning, then they can contact me and I get them the sides to characters that they could audition for. There's there's a total of 43 in the cast, but there's 33 that haven't been cast yet. So
you have 10 spots filled so far.
Yeah, those are ones that have held on since 2015 when we've been suffering some setbacks. You know setbacks, right?
Oh,
unexpected things. You know, certain things happen, and
trust me,
it's
I understand.
By going to other film festivals, like one in Ohio and one in Vegas, I was able to put together my crew. Because it's hard to tap it. Like, and a lot of local actors have responded to my advertisement for auditions.
Yeah.
So, you know, so it's a predominantly female cast. So it's hard when you get lots of male actors, and you're like, well, there's not really a lot of you. There's no real meaty role for a guy, because Letters to Daniel is about me and Missy. So,
right.
And bipolar disorder. Yeah. I was like, I didn't get a chance to see Raiden at Imaginarium this year when we sneak previewed it when it was a demo. I hope it's coming along good and you got a good cut, because I know impulsed is often the hardest
part. Our team is always working to improve it, and as David can vouch for, I mean, we're always working to make it a little better and polish it a little bit more, and continue to you know, hopefully find a home for a series.
Yeah, there's a film market in Nashville called FilmCom. You might think it's not, you know, it's like, so you don't have to go all the way out west to the American film market, but you could maybe find a distributor there. That happens every, they're accepting submissions now. It's not a festival. It's actually a film market. And it's a place where executives from Focus Features, television stations, they from all over, they fly them in, and you get a chance to pitch your project directly to the Hollywood executives. So,
very nice.
I would recommend that to you. And there's also, and where I've gone since 2016, Action on Film, they have they bring in distributors like this is more tooting about Rebecca. You know her Gears of Golgotha. Well, the Jerry Bruckheimer's partner liked her book so much, he asked her for a story bible and a like a pitch deck, and so he's going to take it and pitch it to the CW.
No, that's awesome. That's awesome.
I know that.
Congratulations
to her
on that.
That's the one that takes place in Vegas, and they're accepting submissions now. So you should submit Raiden Valkyrie. You would love it there.
Oh yes, any excuse to go to Vegas would be quite fun.
It has that family feel, you know, like Imaginarium does, like you're all in it together, and it's not. It has that feeling, except it's just on a whole nother level because it's 15 years. This year is its 15th year, and they do a black tie awards. They have a special awards dinner especially for the writers. So if you have any scripts, you could submit those. I mean, I highly recommend it. I recommend Imaginarium to people, you know, when I'm out there. But I feel like that would be a great opportunity for you since you really went through,
yeah.
I know you went through a lot to get Raiden Valkyrie made, and it cost you a lot, and it'd be nice to see it get some sort of distribution.
I agree. Well, yeah, it's definitely been a rough, long road, but I know you've been out and about because I know you've been looking even at the California ones and the Vegas ones, and yeah, you've been getting out there quite a bit. So I saw your post recently, and you built up quite an impressive resume. Yeah, you had your whole list of books and scripts and film projects, and I was like, oh my God! I mean, I knew that you had a lot, but seeing it all there was quite impressive.
I was like, okay, I had to use Amazon to look up all my books because I couldn't remember all of them.
That's not a bad problem to have.
I recommend always AOS is nice because it's like I think what you want to do is what you said, like to find other your creators. You come and if you want to make a movie or if you want to get a book published, you can network with the people there to get it done. And I think Imaginarium can do that. And that indie gathering is what I foresee being in Imaginarium's future. Indie Gathering's wonderful too. That's in Ohio. And one of Jay Whelan's people, Angela Ramsey Robinson, she's the art director on Letters to Daniel. So I actually have more than a one person crew working with me. You know, I'm just really happy that Letters to Daniels finally get made. And we're filming in June, the last week of June.
Awesome.
And part of it will be in Kentucky, part of it will be in Ohio. And there's one scene, there's a location in New Albany, Indiana that we'll be using.
Very cool.
You know, it's funny. Trying to think about all the people who have supported me, and I know I forgot some, but it's a long list. And I'm like, oh, I'm gonna forget somebody, and they're gonna tell me you didn't mention my name that on that one post.
Oh yeah, you had a lot of people listed. Yeah, that was a nice post. But it definitely gave a good sense of all the stuff you've done. I mean, definitely impressive, you know, in terms of, you know, all the credits that you have built up here. And you had, of course, your a very good awards list. And but wow, I mean, your list of books, and screenplays, and all that was.
Yeah.
Wow.
I know. I mean, here locally, you were the first person to give me a seat at the table. So it was, you know, I think there's three festivals I make every year, definitely. That's Indie Gathering, AOF, and Imaginarium. And the only problem with Imaginarium is that because the other two festivals happen within days of each other, I'm usually exhausted by the time I make it to October. But, you know, I enjoy it. All three places feel like home to me. So, I go to all of them. Each festival functions as a different thing for me. And I usually look at Imaginarium primarily as my book stuff, but I take my film stuff very seriously. And we've got a distributor who is looking at our script, and it's possible we could get some limited theatrical screening, streaming and DVD. So keep your fingers crossed.
Oh wow! exciting times. I'm glad that finally it's getting all lined up to finally, you know, get this vision of yours down as you want it, because I know you've worked tenaciously for it, and that's gonna be wonderful. And I look forward to seeing it. That's gonna be a That's going to be awesome. And then I know Missy's excited. And big shout out to Missy if Missy's out there listening right now.
Yes,
but of course, I love your crew, you and Pamela and Missy. I mean, you all are the best.
Oh, thanks. I'll send that back to them. And I know Pamela especially appreciate hearing that, because she was unable to make it this year. But she really will appreciate hearing that.
You guys are always a pleasure to have. And I think you've inspired somebody, because I think I recognize this number. David, it's happened. Your tractor beam worked, I think. I think Holly has just come online. Is that Holly?
Hello, hello, hello.
Oh, my God.
Hey, Holly.
Hello. I'm alive.
You just got a treat, Amy.
I'm alive. Hello, Miss Amy.
Hello.
I talked to Amy. Was it? It was earlier today or yesterday? Yesterday.
It was yesterday.
Oh, I'm glad you called in. I finally was able to get on here. Got the grandkid running around.
I told him you've been under the weather quite a bit. You've had a rough start to 2019.
I've had a rough start, and my fibromyalgia flared. It's evil head, you know. It's just one of those things. It's my cross to bear, but, you know, I'm too damn mean to stay down. So y'all stuck with me, so I don't want to tell you.
Steve, you and for what you all have planned for Imaginarium this year?
Do what?
Any sneak peeks? What you have planned for Imaginarium this year?
Well, we just gave one. You can get a Holly Bonnet calendar from David Sheridan.
Sure can.
Oh, yeah.
You sure can. And we'll make sure that, you know what, David? We've got to make 2020s before Imaginarium, so we can actually have them available at Imaginarium.
There you go.
See, yeah,
that's
so you
one
know,
thing.
Holly, David called in early, and we actually covered the Holly Bonnet calendar info on
Dear
the
God.
Show, so that everybody knows about it.
Dear God. You know, I told David, we tell everybody it's a good way to keep the rodents out of your house, because it will scare them. It will scare them all off.
Well, hey now.
Well, you were a great sport, Holly.
We'll get Amy to put one up on the Letters to Daniel production office wall, you know, so she can keep one up on that wall.
Amy, I didn't hear because I wasn't on here. Did you talk about your letters to Daniel, what you was going to do at Imaginarium?
Yes, we're going to sneak peek it, like a test screening for, because, you know, it's like essentially the documentary stuff, you know, it first screened at Imaginarium in 2014. So I wanted to preserve its premiere status. So I wanted to screen out of competition.
Right.
Like, not because I've got some arrogant thinking, but because I want to preserve its competition status for Sunday at the South by Southwest. Every other festival I do, it wouldn't matter. But if you have more than one showing, then you can't compete at Sundance. If it's beyond like private viewing for, you know, and so a test screening at Imaginarium would be nice. I'm looking forward to it, and I really think it's cool that it's going to be in the larger room.
Yes, that's what I wanted to tell people, that we had standing room only for a lot of films last year, and that led us to where, you know, I told Steven, you know, we're going to have to go to the bigger room, so we're actually going to go to the Julia Bell Hall, where the gaming expo was, because they don't need that much room, and it'll seat actually 500 in the theater seating in there. So we are planning on doing, you know, trying to do more premieres, more you know, sneak peeks and test screenings, and so we're welcoming, you know, anybody to get a hold of us, any filmmakers that you know, Amy, or, you know, if you want to send you know, our way. Because we can handle it now.
I said them all.
Yes, please do. Please do.
I had a screenwriter who was interested in your screenwriting competition.
Fantastic.
And he's actually very, very talented. His name is Jeffrey Howe. I met him up at Indie Gathering, and we also both attended AOF.
Well, sending my way then, and we'll give him a talk. But yeah, we really want to grow that area, it's coming along, leaps and bounds, and which is a wonderful thing, because, you know, we're trying to showcase to people that writing is not just pen to paper on and making a book. You know, writing is games. Writing is even board games, video games, movies. You know, you got to have a screenwriter to have a good movie or TV series or documentary, or, you know, it goes on and on.
The worst treated person in Hollywood is a screenwriter, but without the screenwriter, nobody else would have a job.
Exactly. The actors are always put front and center, but, you know, there is people in the background that's actually making that film or television series come to life, you know, come to fruition.
It's a collaborative effort. It really is. It's a collaborative effort of everyone. And so I really look forward to, because Letters to Daniel was shooting in June, but we should have it finished. Our composer said he could be done in 2 months with the score. And I said, I told him not to rush, you know, because I want something good. But Valio is just, well, I met him at Indie Gathering, and it's like, you know, when you meet Kylie, you know, when you meet someone who's that gifted, it's just, it blows your mind, and you want to work with them. So he's a composer out of Bulgaria, and he said he could have it done by halfway through September, and that would put me right at for Imaginarium, and
awesome.
and I would be anxious for people to see it. I know I'm wanting to afford my parents a chance to see it, so they go to church, and so they're at church mm-hmm. until 12. So I said I didn't mind my movie being the last movie played because it's not in competition.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Nice.
So that'll work out just fine. And then that would give us something really cool to showcase on Sunday because it's always good to have something, you know, really cool
yeah.
there to go out with a bang. So, yeah, that'll be
right.
fantastic.
Yeah.
Perfect.
We'll be silver, we'll be legacy sponsoring. It'll probably be in September when I get you all the money, but I fully plan on sponsoring once again. So
that's awesome.
Well, thank you.
Yes, you've always been a really good support, and we appreciate that.
Yep. Yeah, you've been there since the beginning of Imaginarium, but we also are gonna. It looks like we're gonna have some award-winning swag at Imaginarium. Chat room input. This is great because it will support David's project with the Holly Bonnet calendar. But we've always talked about Kenzie Michaels, of course, with her romance books, how she had legendary Kleenex pack swag at her
oh,
table.
Dear.
And she is going to do some Kleenex pack swag featuring a Holly Bonnet pick. And she's going to, I don't know when she'll debut this, maybe Imaginarium, maybe sooner, I don't know, but what an idea.
Yeah, Amy don't know, Amy, she Kenzie writes romance, right? And so we go by our table, me and Steven did, gosh, it was earlier last year,
Author's
probably.
Fair.
Yeah.
Author's
and,
Fair.
And we went, that's what it was, Author's Fair. And we go past her booth, and we're looking at her stuff, and here she has these little packs of Kleenexes. Well, you know, men are thinking, okay, and me and Steve were scratching our head because here she had these hot romance covers, and, well, it's a good thing to go with them as a pack of Kleenex for the guys, you know, and we got the best kick out of that.
Hey, I've got my
I'm telling you, we teased her, and she... She turned red.
Oh,
red,
I saw it.
Yeah,
I couldn't breathe. I laughed so hard. Oh, my God. That
oh
was great. It's the greatest thing ever.
Steven got
it's
so
brilliant.
Tickled. He's like, this
and
is
guess,
brilliant. It's absolutely brilliant.
And now
she
got
me about it. I went over and got one.
She said she's gonna do this just for me, evidently. But she's going to make a
she
Holly Bonnet.
She says she has allergies. She says she has allergies. Yeah, that's a good cover up, Kenzie. Good cover up.
That is genius, though. Oh, man. I love it.
Oh, my God. Perfect. Just
that made
perfect.
My day at the Author's Fair. That and since then, it's something you can never forget.
Oh,
and,
no. She's never
going to
live that one down ever.
I can't wait to see the Holly Bonnet version of her Kleenex swag. That's the next stage.
You know, I'll have to get together and create something.
Yes.
I'll get your calendar.
Sit Holly Bonnet
there,
on whatever. Well, she's got this really cool one of her book covers where that sexy teacher sitting up on a desk or whatever. See, I'll have to get me one of sitting up on a buggy, and we'll have Steven up there kissing me on the neck or something. Oh my God.
Awesome.
I'm gonna have to come down with the green screen just to shoot this.
Yes, you are.
Oh Lord.
Giving me ideas. Amy's like, oh boy.
Well, I thought what she said Kleenex is vital for someone who sneezes year round.
Yeah, I know. I do. I have allergies. I can get with her on that. But boy, oh boy, when you write romance to do that, yeah, that's perfect. It's just perfect. It's too funny. Too funny.
Yeah, that was awesome.
Yeah, we got a teaser. That's funny. Yeah, she says it's vital. Oh, that's so funny. But yeah, David's going to have to bring the old green screen.
Yeah. Well, I've got new toys too. I got the new steamer because my old one broke. And then I've got a fog machine coming this next week, so I can even do more now.
Oh, cool. Ooh, we can do stuff with fog. Oh, that's neat.
See, Amy, if you need some atmospheric CGI effects, there you go. There's Dave. He can do it.
That's true. David's a master at special effects. Let me tell you, it's unreal what he can accomplish.
It's like a spaceship.
I'm just worried about finding locations, making sure I can get them. That's why I have to go to Ohio. I haven't been able to nail down all of them, but I pretty much I've only got one or two left to get. So,
Well, if you can't find your locations,
it's rough.
David can make your locations. On digitally.
That's true.
Well, I enjoy doing special effects. I really do. It's practical is always better. Mm-hmm. And then if you need special effects, it just enhances it.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, because
but like I said, go ahead.
I'm working on a script that is paranormal, supernatural, whatever. Ooh. And there would be effects involved in it, but it depends. I can't look out. I've been working so hard for letters to Daniel. I can't see too much far beyond that right now.
Right.
David made some holiday pics for Holly and myself. He shot a couple pics for us while he was down here, and he created a set that he put us into, and it was gorgeous. I mean, it made us look like we were in some millionaire's house.
Yeah, I found it really cool.
It
had this Victorian, really cool background. I was like, this is perfect. And he was even able to incorporate us sitting on like his fancy bench, which we wasn't. We were sitting on a piano bench.
Even created the
green screen
we were sitting on. Yeah,
yes.
Fantastic.
Crazy. And I mean, it looks real. You can't tell. And my one little granddaughter, who's a baby and not sitting up on her own yet. My daughter was actually like squatted down behind her, holding her in a sitting position, and had her sitting by mother granddaughter. And he CGI'd a little black pillow. It looks like she's sitting on a pillow there on the bench on her own. I mean, it's crazy. It's crazy what you can do with special effects.
David's a master at that. Yeah, he created a whole sets for us just in no time.
And we were just
walking
around.
You get a
real
mind, Amy. He can make your set.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, if you need anything CGI, that's the truth. Yeah. We got the man. We got the man. We'll loan him out for a little bit.
for a little bit.
A little bit.
Okay.
Just make sure you have a Burger King near where you work. Yeah, that's Dave's hot spot. So.
Hey, well, I've
got to
go.
Yeah. All righty.
Take care.
Fun. We'll see you, Amy. Take care, man. Have fun with your location scouting.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye, Eddie.
Oh. Yeah, the Burger King, yes. Yeah,
go ahead with your Burger King.
No, go ahead.
Before before we're done here, I do want to mention that Imaginarium. Yeah, I've been a little behind because I've been on a roller coaster with my health, but we are going to be coming out in the next week or so with some guest announcements. I have some phenomenal Imaginator guests already lined up.
Yep.
Our special guest.
We got a slew of guests ready to post.
Oh my God,
too.
We got some phenomenal. Yes, it's really shocking.
So
phenomenal guest.
A tidal wave of guests ready to post. We just got to do it.
Yep. Yeah, we're gonna come out. It's gonna be a major tidal wave.
We're gonna do it. And, you all are in for some treats on the Imaginators. You're going to be quite stunned,
Whoa.
I think, at the caliber of some of these guests that we've got coming in. But
it ain't done.
But I tell you, I'm excited about, the Creative Flame and Kenzie Michaels with the Holly Bonnet calendars and Holly Bonnet Kleenex swag. I mean, that alone,
that alone should sell tickets. That should sell tickets.
So the rest of the bonus, the fact that you got amazing guests and programming and all kinds of events and activities, it's all bonus, It starts with the Holly Bonnet calendar. The Oregon Trail this year leads to Louisville.
Oh, my God.
So what kind of calendar do we want to shoot for the Imaginarium?
That's what we got to figure out. I'll tell you what. People need to text ideas on the Imagine. Text us some ideas on what you'd like to see us do for a 2020 calendar that we could sell at Imaginarium. What would you like to see us do?
I've already got a suggestion. Holly Bonnet in space.
Oh, my God. Put jet propulsion on the buggy.
We'll put a jet pack on you.
Well, I was joking
Landed
earlier, Holly,
on the moon.
That the original travelers in the Oregon Trail will be very jealous of the seats on that quasi-modern wagon thing that's in one of the Holly Bonnet pictures on the calendar.
That's
modern one. Yeah, those Oregon Trail
folks
were killed for those seats.
That's how I roll,
well,
man.
Everybody loved that photo, so I had to add it to the calendar. So.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah, that's
how
I roll. Oh, my God. But, yeah, we will take suggestions for the next calendar.
Hold on.
Oh, go ahead. What's Robert Osborne?
Robert Osborne. Go for it, Holly.
So we have the Holly Bonnet calendar. When does the winter swimsuit edition come out? Or if it's too cold, Holly and her pet friends. Well, ain't nobody want to see no swimsuit. A winter swimsuit, yes, because then that would involve a lot of covering up. So we could do that.
Yeah, like a dry suit for scuba divers or something. Yeah,
I can get creative. We can get creative. Or David could pin me on some different bodies. You know, we could use some Photoshop in there. The wonders of Photoshop. I could shed a few pounds real quick.
Well, we'll see. I think that's why David likes Burger King, because he operates in a similar way. He's like, have it your way, so he can make it.
Oh, Kenzie's got. Oh my God, they're figuring it out. Kenzie says Victorian swimming suits, because you know my love of Victorian.
Oh Lord.
And Kenzie's like, well, posing. I could pose on Daniel's bike, Daniel Dark's, and his car, his old, 1900 car.
Ketchup. Holding his
ketchup.
Well,
Daniel's ketchup. Oh, my
crazy.
God.
We could do Victorian steampunk.
That's fantastic.
That's a great idea,
See, we're
Kenzie.
Getting it now.
I think we need to look into that. That's doable. Yeah, I think Robert's idea is doable in the right context, and so is Kenzie's. So we'll have to work on this. Robert knows about the bike. Fall off that thing,
he's like,
you're maimed for life.
I told him it's the stop that gets you. It's the sudden stop. It ain't the fall. Yeah. It's the sudden stop that gets you.
Yep, that's true. Oh man, that's dark style though.
I always told Daniel that I told him I wanted to ride the bike, but I'm always afraid of falling. He's like, oh, don't worry about getting off. I said, I'm always worried about getting off the bike. And he goes, don't worry about it. It'll let you off. It'll let you off.
Yeah.
I said, yeah.
Well, it'll let you off, all right.
It will.
But like Robert said, you're maimed for life.
That's that right.
Oh, Lord. But I think
awesome.
We have some good ideas here. And actually, she has another good one there, the 12 of the best costumes. That's a costume contest calendar. That's not bad.
I like that.
That's a good one, too.
Pick 12 of the best costumes. That's
yeah.
pretty cool.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
We'll have to look into some
mm-hmm.
of that stuff for fun.
Yeah, that'd be
Who
fun.
Who knows?
Do a different costume every month or something. We'll come up with something.
Yeah, then you
That's
get a
awesome.
Pack with your Holly Bonnet Kleenex swag from Kenzie Michaels along with your calendar.
You know what I need to do? I need to look into if the person that designed the game is still alive, and I need to see about asking them to come to Imaginarium.
There you go. That'd be awesome.
I wonder if the video game designer is actually still alive, and I bet he is.
Well, hopefully, yeah. The Oregon Trails, you know, would be 1980s as far as the video game.
Yeah. Well,
so,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah,
so it's
so.
Quite a possibility.
Yeah.
Yeah. It really is. So I'm going to look into that. And that would
talked
be really
about
cool.
Your, speaking of video games, we talked about your
you get a
E.T. Atari 2600 documentary.
Oh, my God. That
so,
is phenomenal. And I'm not going to say, but I'm going to do some digging on that, too.
Yeah. But I think it's just so funny because I got that for you because you loved E.T. And I thought, oh, yes, this
yeah.
could make Holly so happy. I found this game on the Atari 2600
exactly.
for E.T. because I never got it back in the day, and I never realized that it's considered the worst video game ever made.
Yeah.
And I bought that for you. It's like a little present.
Yeah. And they actually
like
blamed
a $5 cartridge. Yeah.
They actually blamed Atari's whole failure, their tanking, on that gentleman. Most people actually blamed him, but it was not the video creator's fault that made the Atari game. That was not his fault that Atari tanked. Atari tanked because it went higher up. It was corporate. It was decisions that corporate was making and different things that they were doing. It had nothing to do with him. The one man is not going to tank that whole business. They had several game designers, not just him. So, yeah,
yeah.
People wanted to pin it on him, but it wasn't him.
But we did
but
determine
yeah, they,
the real reason David Sheridan likes to come to our house is so he can gaze in wonder and awe at our mint condition copy of that cartridge. So,
yeah, we actually have – it's a piece of history. It actually is, and they're hard to come by, apparently. And
yeah, they're very hard to come by.
We just snagged one. Yeah, and we
yeah.
actually have a mint
condition
one that plays. It plays.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if you could figure
yep.
the game out and quit falling in pits. But,
well, that was the biggest flaw with the game.
Yeah, it's hard. But I learned today there's a lot of Easter eggs.
Well, let me tell
you
how cool and – how cool and retro we are. We play ours, get this, on an expansion module that plugs into a ColecoVision that plays the Atari 2600 cartridges. How retro is that? So we play our Atari 2600 games on a module that goes into a ColecoVision.
Yeah, we're nerds. Yeah.
So that's epic. That is epic. That's like the original concept, I think, for the Retron. It sort of is in a way.
And then, oh, God. And then here we are. Me and David is playing Tetris 2, right? And we're playing and going along. And I'm like, you know, these colors. And David's like, this is in color? I'm like, yeah. And he's like, oh, well, you remember I am colorblind. I'm like, well, okay, duh. So, hell, that's why he couldn't see half of what was going on. The Tetris 2 is all in color. And I'm like, David, this whole damn game, you got to do the colors and the shapes. And he's like, oh, well, So he actually was doing pretty good, but yeah, he was hard. So then I went back and we played Tetris 1, and yeah, we had a lot of fun playing that. But
I love Kenzie, the Tetris.
Kenzie
said she was much better at Space Invaders, Night Driver, and Breakout.
God, I love Night Driver.
We have Night Driver and Space Invaders here at the house. So, Kenzie, next time you come to Lexington, we can let you look and wonder at the ET cartridge, and then you can play Night Driver and Space Invaders. We do not yet have Breakout.
I love Night Driver.
But that was a good game. That was a good game.
Oh, my God. She's like Tetris, too. Shades of Gray.
I'm not that colorblind. Just red, green to frequency. So I saw two or three colors, but that was it.
Yes, Tetris 2, Shades of Gray, that's where the shapes really smack you.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. You see what I did there, Holly? I know you do.
We all do.
I love Breakout. Yeah, that was a great game. We do not have it just yet. But the good thing about retro gaming, it's cheap. All the game shops and retro stores and stores where you find the cartridges, you're talking like $5-6 a cartridge. So it's a
compared to the new video games.
Yeah,
your new video games are like $60, you know. Yeah.
Well, the next time I come down, I need to go get one of those. I mean, get one. You'll have to take me over there to the game shop so I can pick up one of the Retrons.
Oh, they're fun. Yeah, there you are. But you want the 3. The 5, oh, God.
It's a nightmare.
The Retron 5, we had nothing but trouble with, and it's actually,
it won't read a lot of the cartridges.
Yeah, it's very glitchy. But the 3, it plays them all. We have no problem with the 3.
Yeah, the 3 I've had no trouble with. It's been glorious. And you can play Genesis, Nintendo, and Super Nintendo on it. And, the 5, I think they just crammed too much in it. Because, it seems like so glitchy. But the 3
is a lot of fun.
Yeah. The thing about that is the ports on the NES, the basic Nintendo, for a lot of the classic arcade games like Galaga, Joust, etc., I mean, are very good. So, I mean, you get to really revisit that whole classic arcade era if you have a Retron. I mean, you can definitely load up on those and play them.
And Kenzie was saying, too, that she still has her system, but she can't hook them up. But I was telling her about the plugs. If anybody's got, like, systems like the ColecoVisions or Ataris or anything out there, and you do not have the hookups for them, they do sell them. You can order on eBay and Amazon. You can order any kind of hookups
adapters,
that you need. Yes, they sell even the
very
power
doable.
Adapters. Power adapters, adapters to hook up to your TV. You can even get, the new smart TVs. I mean, they have hookups for everything. You just have to go digging. But, yeah, they do. You can get hookups for them.
I think Kenzie wants to have a gaming night at the house here, and we can show her how to hook up the adapters, and we can show her play Space Invaders, and she can look at the ET cartridge, because you don't want to play it, because the game is truly awful.
Oh, it's so hard. It's so hard.
It's a very nice looking cartridge, though.
It is cool looking.
In the world. Yeah. I do understand why it was not popular. It was not the best game in the world. Let's just say that.
No, it's so hard. But I do plan on getting some people at Imaginarium this year where we will get play time in. So people will be able to play some retro games. I'm going to make sure
we're going to get that straight this year some very disappointing letdowns last year with people that don't come through, but we'll leave it at that.
Right. But we will make sure there is people there. We'll have backup and there will be gaming. Mm. Yeah, most certainly.
Yeah.
And
we'll
we can always bring our Retron too,
Yeah.
We can bring our Retron.
Yeah, we'll pick up the old
TVs
Retron.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah,
we'll bring it. Games. Yeah. And
hook up
it
a massive
is. It's
screen.
Neat for people.
There you go.
Yep.
Oh, Kenzie
yep, we'll
has
get
a
her.
Copy of E.T. Oh, God, I'm sorry.
Yes, she has a copy.
I'm so sorry. Yeah.
No, it's actually a good thing. You know, the game wasn't bad. Like they were saying, like a lot of gamers now, that during that documentary I was watching, they said it wasn't that the game was technically bad, that Atari did make a lot worse games.
Well, it wasn't
games,
that good either, though.
But it's the fact it was so difficult. It's one of the hardest Atari games made because you do keep falling in those pits. And it does
yeah,
make
it
difficult.
Yeah, it drives me nuts when we played it.
Yeah. But that there actually is worse games. But, yeah, it's
yeah, when
just
it comes
been
to
labeled.
Atari, I'll stick to Atari 2600. I'll stick to Pitfall, Yar's Revenge. Yeah, Space Invaders, of course, some of the classics. Yeah, and I will say,
oh, Pac-Man.
You know,
I love Miss Pac-Man.
It's nothing like the arcade game. Nothing like it. But the Atari 2600 mm-hmm. version of Miss Pac-Man is actually fun. It's a fun-to-play game, even though it's...
They were all fun.
Yeah, don't even think about the arcade version. It doesn't look like it at all, but it is a fun game. It is a lot of fun to play. And, So we... it is fun. That whole era was a blast. And, yeah, well, I was excited to learn that the NES actually came out in 85. I didn't realize it came out that early, but it actually came out in 1985 in Japan before it came here about, what was it, 87, Holly?
Yeah.
87 or 88, somewhere in there. So, the mid-80s weren't as much of a void as we often think, you know, when those early game systems kind of disappeared.
That's
yeah, the horizon was already, things were already heading out of the east our way, so.
That's true.
Good stuff.
Well.
Oh, Pac-Man Fever,
as this
I remember
has been,
that
hey,
song.
It's a Pac-Man Fever, it's great. But I'm going to skedoodle off of here, and I do want to mention, though, real quick, we are having a guest, and then you guys can go back and talk gaming. But our guest next week, her name is Arlene Gale, and you all will definitely want to come and check her out. Do what, Stephen?
Oh, we have another caller on the line. Caller, you are on the air.
Okay.
Hello?
It's your Schwester. Hello?
Uh-oh, it's Courtney.
Hey, Courtney!
Hi,
Courtney.
Welcome to the show.
I thought it was wildly inappropriate for the retro gaming.
Well, yeah, you've got quite a you got yourself one of the NES Classic systems, I believe.
Yes, and actually, my Super Nintendo Classic arrived this evening.
Very cool.
And you're not playing it?
Yeah, what are you doing calling in? You're not playing it?
Well, no, I no, not yet. I don't know if I'm ready for the stress, Holly.
Yeah, that's a small thing, isn't it? I think I remember seeing it at the store. The Super NES Mini is a really small unit, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. It's the size of, like, 2.5 decks of cards.
Ooh.
Yeah, it's a tiny console, I guess.
Yeah, it's tiny. Like,
yeah.
you can hold it in your hand. But it has 30 games on it, which is cool.
Yeah, because the classic, the NES one, looks like a miniature version of the actual NES system.
Yep. And so does the Super one. And it's about as small.
Does it?
Yep.
Very cool. That's cool. Yeah, because I know they use the original controllers on those. Original style controllers. I mean.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, that's one bonus of the Retron is it actually has inputs for the original controller. So you can use the controller that comes with the Retron, but then you can also use original NES, Super NES or Genesis controllers with those, each of those systems. So that is a cool bonus of that system. But I do think it's cool that the flashback consoles like you're actually have the you know, your controllers that were used on the original systems or style.
Well, and the cool thing is, too, is that they sell extension cords. So, well, they do have some wireless,
yeah.
But for the NES Classic, I attached 2 extension cords, so it's 12 feet away.
Nice.
Yes.
Yeah, you think that they
well,
almost
what
make,
saying,
almost
like
make
when
a version
I, when
of
I
cheat
tuned
and make
in
a wireless
as
version?
Being a hard, what were you
Do
saying
I?
About something being like a? What were you saying about something being like really hard to play, like a hard, difficult game?
E.T.
Oh well, she was talking about the original E.T. for Atari 2600.
Oh, like E.T. Extraterrestrial?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, no, some of those games are so freaking difficult.
Yeah, it was. I personally don't think it's the best game in the world. I think David agrees with me on that one. It's not the most fun to play. But they say that it's actually because it is actually difficult to play. But I just got bored. Just keep falling into these pits. But. It's
sounds like
not,
me
not,
on
not
a Super Mario
game.
These days.
Yeah, Super Mario, I'll play that all day long. David he's a master of that. He's awesome.
Well, when it first came out, that's all I did for like 6 months to play it.
Yeah, nice.
Hello,
yeah, that's
David.
A hard game. Yeah, that's once you get up to the levels, it becomes a pretty difficult game, though. Like, Super Mario 3 is my favorite of the Mario series, but it definitely gets pretty tricky after you get to about World 3.
What a world.
I haven't even made it out of World 1 yet, so.
Yeah. You'll get there.
Okay,
you'll get
okay.
there. Yeah, we'll have
no,
to introduce Kenzie to that one when she comes for gaming night here in Lexington. And she's got an Atari 2600 original system as well, so she speaks our language. Kenzie Michaels, she's in the chat room right now.
Oh, outstanding. Well,
yeah.
We have to beat Star Fox 1 on the Super NES Mini so that we can unlock an unplayed game, Star Fox 2.
Oh, that's cool. We'll
no,
get
Star
Martin
Fox
or David. Either Martin or David. Those two can do it, I guarantee you.
Yeah,
and
I used
so
to play a lot of Star Fox.
Down next.
Yeah, they're wizards. I'm not that good at NES, Super NES. I just enjoy them. I don't play them enough to get too good. Oh, man.
So,
good fun.
David. David.
Yeah.
Here's my question. Can you unlock Star Fox 2 for me?
I can try. It's been a long time since I played the game, but... You know, I could probably get back into it.
All you gotta do is beat the first level of Star Fox 1.
Oh, I can do that.
Okay.
Oh, shucks. David, you have a highly important reason to get back to Kentucky now. Urgent.
There you go.
Courtney.
I'm sure the wife will understand.
Courtney needs emergency technical assistance, so you need to return to Lexington at once.
Because apparently I suck at games that I used to be really good at.
That's a skill.
Just treat him
to
some treat him some Burger King, Courtney. He'll be down. Don't worry.
Oh, I got you Whoppers, whatever the hell you need.
Yeah.
Chicken tenders. onion rings, whatever they're like, 3 for $3 or I don't know, whatever. I got you.
Yeah, you go come up some Burger King, you'll come.
Burger King with Dave.
Yeah.
Well, get it straight to
well,
me.
I'm glad you're retro gaming. I'm glad you're retro gaming and having some fun with it, because I think it's a fun pursuit. And evidently there's quite a lot of people that are rediscovering it out there. There apparently is a pretty good market for these flashback consoles and retrons and all that. So it's a big deal these days. And it's certainly a hell of a lot cheaper than the Xbox and PlayStation world, because, at $60 a game, that couldn't last very long in the current gaming world. But yeah, the retro stuff, it's great.
My thing was less complicated controllers.
Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
well,
another
I've got to go.
David's got to go. Take it easy, man. Thank you for calling in.
All right. Take care, all.
Well, Courtney, it's just you and me now. We're down to two.
Let's try that.
And there were two. We have 9 minutes left. So if anybody out there wants to call, now's your time to do so at 619-639-4616. And they were selling them at the Indianapolis Toy and Hobby Show in November. And what is them? Kenzie leaves us in mystery here in the chat room. I'm going to find out, because I've got the chat room open in this window and I'm watching it. And I will, I'll keep an eye out for new callers. But yeah, we can do this. We can make the last 8 minutes fun. So, what games were you playing on the Super NES?
Well, I have yet to plug it in. I'm getting ready to.
Oh wow!
But it has.
So, yeah, we're just getting you warmed up for your gaming night.
I don't have much of a gaming night left because I got to go to bed soon. But it's got Yoshi's World on it. It's got
nice.
Oh gosh, Final Fantasy III, Donkey Kong Country. It's got
good
it's
stuff.
Got the original Super Mario Kart.
Nice.
Star Fox.
Original, yeah.
Star Fox. And like I said, once you unlock the first world of Star Fox, it unlocks a brand new game that's never been out to the public, which is Star Fox 2.
That's fantastic.
So, who knows what that's all about? Yeah. But
Kenzie has clarified the November Indianapolis Christmas Toy and Hobby Show in November. She said they were selling the retro games there. So I tell you, more people are getting into this. It's not just nostalgic either. The fun thing is that I've talked to and run into a lot of Generation Z and millennials that are getting into retro games. They love them.
Because they were the best.
They really do.
They were awesome.
Yeah. I mean, it's not, and that's cool. I mean, I think it's fantastic because, and I see it in the book world, the Generation Z crowd is getting into print books. It's awesome. Two pictures sent in to me in over Christmas of readers that got print copies of my books, and they were Generation Z age readers. And they read them, cover to cover right away. And then I go into the store, and I'll give a shout out to John Armstrong at the Kroger Liquor Store Wine and Spirits here on Boston Road in Lexington. But Ethan Gabbard, who works there, had a copy of Patrick Rothfuss's novel In the Name of the Wind sitting with him there, and he was reading it on his breaks and stuff. And I was thinking, the younger folks are picking up print, so it totally makes sense that they are gravitating to try out the retro games, which I think is great. It's cool to see the younger crowd picking up all that.
I get the convenience of the Kindle. I get the convenience of that, especially like for travel and being able to take multiple books, because I know how you used to travel. You had an entire suitcase devoted to just books, which we thought was ridiculous. But you literally had two suitcases, the suitcase for the clothes and the sundries, and my brother
yeah.
had an entire suitcase that was nothing but books. So
that's
the
true.
Kindle would reduce that factor and save some money with how they're charging for things. So I get that.
Yeah.
But there's nothing better than holding a tangible book in your hand, smelling the pages, and reading.
Right.
Period.
I agree.
Like,
I agree.
You can't curl
no,
up with
no
a candle
question.
The way you can curl up with a regular book. Period.
Yeah.
And
we
do
have a caller. Oh, my God. Hold on.
Oh.
Save the question. We do have one last caller at 812 area code. You are on the air.
Hello. I was listening to Courtney. I was the same way. I was the one that drove my parents crazy by always wanting to drag a suitcase full of books.
That was my brother,
is this
actually.
Kenzie? Is this
yes,
Kenzie?
It is.
Oh
yes,
my God!
It is.
Hello. What a treat.
Hello.
They're gonna be jealous that they all hung up, David and Holly. Now.
I actually called in once before, but by the time I got my phone unplugged and punched in, you had already moved on to another subject, so I hung back up. So.
Well, welcome to the show. I'm glad you're here. Fantastic. We'll finish strong here on retro gaming. Yeah, with you, me, and my sister here. I think she,
mm-hmm.
yeah, she was about to ask a question. I don't want to overlook that. But what was it, Courtney?
Oh, no, I'll give Kenzie the floor because she called in. So.
Yeah. Okay.
No, I was just responding
you,
to you
like a plan.
So that you wouldn't. So you, two of you. Or just all by yourself.
Yeah, I did carry a suitcase as a kid, though. Courtney can, reference that. But yeah, I did. I mean, I would load the suitcase up, packed it with books, and I definitely could have used
yeah,
a Kindle in my earlier years.
Yes,
we went
absolutely.
To Colorado one time, and I ran out of reading material on the trip home, and begged my parents to buy me a book or two, and they finally bought one. I think I had that thing read by the time we pulled into the hotel that night. And Mom was like, no,
yep.
just reread one of your others.
Amen
well,
to
I
that.
Know. Well, that's what we did. I mean, we had little travel games that we would take as kids on our road trips with our folks, and or we would read. Yeah, and that was the other
mm-hmm.
thing. So, I usually would finish at least a couple books on a trip, but I always took, like, 10 more than I needed. It's always the case.
Yeah.
My
absolutely.
Classic anecdote for that was my grandmother. She was reading mysteries at the time and took us to the library one day. It rained in Florida, and I wanted to check out 10 books, and she held me to 3. Well, I had them read by the end of the day, and so made her take me back the next day. And then she let me check out as many as I wanted.
Nice.
Oh, see, what does that bring up? Mimi days,
huh?
Oh,
that
yeah,
was
the
on
Mimi
a
days.
Rainy. Oh,
Mimi days. Our grandmother would take us out for Mimi days, and so we would generally go to a movie, and then afterwards we would always go to a bookstore, and so we were allowed to pick out a book that we both wanted. You know,
mm-hmm.
but that was Mimi days. She would take us out in this old car, and she'd giggle, white-headed. And giggle, go pedal to the map. And she had some 8-cylinder, like, old-ass car. I don't even remember what the name, make, and model of it was. And
the late
60s go,
Pontiac had a very strong 8-cylinder engine that had a heck of a lot of
yeah.
kick. I mean, it was a muscle really. Car. And to this day, I just don't remember. I can't remember the model. What
I
model
know.
It was.
I tried to figure out what model it was. But she would sit on a telephone book because she was 4'11". And so she was selling the telephone book, but she sat there with us and pedaled to the metal. But,
yeah,
it was a movie, and we'd go to the bookstore. And she let each of mm-hmm. us pick out a book, and she bought each of us a book. And, yeah, Mimi days.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun. I remember those fondly. And, yeah, definitely built up my library on those days for sure. That was a... Good memories. Yeah, we called her Mimi. That's where the name comes from. But
yeah, I think she was Tears Anthony, and I was Choose Your Own Adventures because I'm younger than Steve. But yeah, I think it was Tears Anthony books for Steve.
I used to get the D&D versions of the Choose Your Own Adventures because I had a bunch of those, the paperbacks. I don't know what they were Dungeons and Dragons affiliated. I just can't remember the exact name of that series, but I remember there were quite a few of those Choose Your Own Adventures. David would be able to say what those are because he was into those. It was pretty heavy, but I remember those fondly. Those are a lot of fun.
Were they like a Dragonlance or something like that?
I forget what they're called, but they were under the D&D brand, I think. They were
okay.
Yeah, they used their world back in the heyday of Dungeons and Dragons and gaming and all that. The early golden age. Yeah, we had.
Let's go back to retro RPG.
tabletop D&D gaming and retro gaming and. Yeah, that was a good time. That's all part of the 80s for sure. Yeah, I had my D&D monster manual, basic set, and advanced set, and all that good stuff. Now it's gotten a lot more complex. this is cool. What a cool way to wind the show down, Kenzie. This is awesome. I am so glad you called in. And you've got to do the Holly Bonnet Kleenex swag. That will be hilarious. You got to manufacture
some pictures because I was looking through Holly's pictures and only found two of them. So
we'll take care of that. We can provide.
Yeah,
I can provide you with material, and so can David Sheridan. I've got one where I've got Holly with the background masked out, so we can even put her in front of one of your book covers. How's that for a segue?
That'd be cool.
We can just tie it all together right there. Holly Bonnet. Kleenex
swag
in front of one of your
the
books.
Latest one.
Yeah,
we could Photoshop her on the latest one.
Yeah, we could do that. Yeah, that could be fun. We have a project then, and yeah, I want to order one of these calendars soon though, because David just got those like posted online, so I'm gonna have to get my hands on one of those pretty shortly. But yeah, that's gonna be a lot of fun. But I love your idea about on the calendars. I like the idea of the costume contest theme. I think that's gonna be awesome. So
that's what popped into my brain when you said.
Yeah, that was a really good idea. So, but yeah, let's.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, let's do this again sometime. This has been a lot of fun, and the fact that I actually got you to call in, I feel triumphant here on my solo night.
You need to have Carol and I one night.
Yes.
You need to have a romance night with me and Carol.
Yes, let's do it. I will get a hold of you, and we'll book it. Meet you and Carol. You've got it. That'll be the top of my list tomorrow. You will hear from us.
All righty.
But thank you for calling. I'll let you tell people where to find you, though, because you are a fantastic author. So before you sign off and say goodnight, tell people where to find your books and you online real quick.
Okay. My website is mollydaniels.wordpress.com. And I'm on Amazon. I'm on Facebook as Molly Daniels and Kenzie Michaels. I'm on Twitter as Kenzie Michaels. And I think I'm on Instagram as Kenzie, too, but I'm not sure.
Excellent. And
you can pretty much
Courtney,
find me anywhere. Just...
Yes.
I will say my goodbye, and I'll let each of you then say goodbye yourselves before we wrap this up. But Star Chamber shows on every Wednesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, and we will have a great guest for you next week. I believe it is Adrian Gale, who's a fantastic writer and business speaker, and she'll be coming up next week on the Star Chamber show. And so this is Steven Zimmer on my first solo night hosting. So good night, everybody, and I will turn it over to Kenzie and Courtney.
All right. Good night, Stephen.
Good night.
Good night.
Good night, everybody.
I always get shut off at the end, so I never get to hear the end before. So
there you,
all right,
now you
signing
do.
Off.
You're on the end. You made it. Nice.